Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host. This week, we will hear one of the greatest comedies in old-time radio. It's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. As many of you know, live comedy shows would have an audience warm-up just before the show to get the audience ready to laugh at the jokes. Today, we will hear the warm-up and then the show. Here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, Alice's First Date, from 1953.
And a friend, boy, William Foreman.
We are one of the few remaining radio shows that's fortunate enough to have a sponsor. If you could join yourself during the next half hour, you could do us all a big favor if you would. And that is sometime this week, stop by your neighborhood RCA Victor dealer and pick up a 27-inch television set or a record player or something. Because we'd like to be up here next year at the same time. Well, as you know, this year, Phil is out on his own. We're starting our new season, so I know you want to send him off with a great big fanfare. So what do you say we all get together and give a big welcome to the man who discovered the South, Phil Harris. Let's hear it!
Thank you very much. I can't tell you what it means to me to come out here all by myself. You're all applauding and you got those smiles on your faces and you're glad to see me. And I just want to tell you I love you more because I need you.
I've been with Jack Benny for 16 years and ain't no money connected with that.
All he does on payday is take you to dark room, give you one fast course of love and gloom, and you've had it.
Well, Ben, I got off to a bad start when I married Alice. They told me she had money, but I'll be damned if I can. I looked everywhere.
I want to get one thing straightened out with you nice people right now. I want to tell you, please don't believe all you hear that I depend on Alice for my livelihood. No, don't do that, because, you know, that's like Benny being cheap. I mean, it's not like Benny being cheap. But I do not depend on Alice. I've had my own job. It's a very important job, and I've had it now for 10 years. A lot of people tried to take it from me, and my boss says, no, there isn't anybody could do this job like Phil Harris. I'm a test pilot for Seabrook. Hey, I got a cute story to tell you. I don't know if you, but don't stop me. I want to hear it again myself. You hear the story about the guy walks to the barber shop, says, how many ahead of me? The barber says, three. The guy went out and he don't come back. Next day comes in again. He says to the barber, how many ahead of me? The barber says, three. The guy goes out. He don't come back. Now the barber's going crazy, you know, all day on his feet with the scissors and all, you know. So he walks over to the bootblack. He says, look, every day a guy comes in, wants to know how many he's ahead. I tell him, he goes out, he don't come back. If he does it tomorrow, follow him. I want to know. Next day, the guy came in, said to the barber, how many ahead of me? The barber says, three. The guy went out, the bootblack followed him, came back in about 20 minutes. The barber says, where'd he go? Where'd he go? The bootblack says, to your house. You're going to be a good bunch tonight. You're like the kid who used to part his hair in the middle all the time, and he got tired of it, and he went to the barber, and he had the barber put the part from here over to here. Then he had him give him bangs in front and bangs in the back. The kid said it got awfully monotonous because people kept coming up whispering in his nose. You're about the drunk fell out of the 12-story building. This guy's blind, drunk, and he fell out of a window. 12 stories up, he hit on the ground. Boom! There's a big crowd around. He got up, he's brushing himself off. The fellow walked up, says, what happened? He says, damn fine, no, I just got here. It'll be a good show. We got a good script, too, boy. I love you. I want to tell you this much, that whatever little success that we've attained, ladies and gentlemen, Alice and I, in the past few years on our show, is due to the listening of you nice people, and to the fact that we have a wonderful organization, of which I'm very proud. Because, oh, incidentally, I see a few fellas sitting around like sailors, and I want to tell you guys, it's always a pleasure to have you here. especially in the Navy, because I was in the Navy during the first war myself. I fought the Battle of Catalina, buddy. You're laughing. We lost 8 lobster traps. But anyway, you might get a kick out of this. They had a very unique way of selecting their enlisted men according to what they'd done in private life when I went in. For instance, I went in with a couple of buddies of mine, and one of them was a street cleaner, and they put him on a minesweeper. And this other buddy of mine was a construction guy. He tore down buildings and broke them up and everything, and they put him on a destroyer. How I ever wound up on a ferry boat, I'll not... But I loved it because we never got in rough water. It was always calm. No, getting back to my organization that I am very proud of. Now, you take, for instance, everyone you see sitting on that stand does an outstanding job on his or her particular instrument. But these are stuff that I know that you don't know. You take the leader. He's okay. We're very proud of him because we find that we have a genius on our hands. And I mean just that, because, ladies and gentlemen, this boy has a tremendous record, in as much as he's already had 2 of his own compositions played in the Hollywood Bowl, and he has been nominated 6 different times for the Academy Award, the Motion Picture Academy Award. And last year, he was nominated again for the Academy Award and just missed it by a few votes for the wonderful job that he did on the arranging and directing of all the beautiful music that you heard in the wonderful Hans Christian Andersen story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Walter Sharp. He has to do that until he gets me in one of the pictures. It's going to be a long, long time. Hey, Bill Foreman, I got to introduce him. I know he came out at first. Now I'd like for you to meet our cast, ladies and gentlemen. First, this is whose fault it is, because without her, I don't think it would be possible. We've been married for 13 years now, and I'm just telling you this much, that she's not only the most beautiful gal in the world, but this kid's got the talent. Alice Faye, let's take her out. Here are the 2 little girls that play the part of Alice and Phyllis on the program. They've been with us ever since we started. And they, too, are 2 of the most competent little actresses we have in the business. Janine Roos and Ann Whitfield. Come on. Don't come too young for me. Hey, wait a minute. Where's my other daughter? Where's Janine? Oh, a surprise. See, we get surprises. Okay. Here is, what's the matter, Alice? Here's a little kid that we've used on our program several times, and we're just proud to have him on with us tonight, because he not only is a terrific little actor, but he is what we call one of our great baseball authorities. Just because he loves the game so much, just because he loves the players, he loves everything that baseball stands for, he has taken time out. Although he is in demand as an actor, he has taken time out to make a full study of the game. And if you like baseball, you saw him as one of the umpires at Hollywood last year on the Pacific Coast, and a boy that is considered already, after 1 year in our baseball out here, being one of our outstanding umpires, aside from being a terrific actor, a wonderful kid, a nice hand for Gil Stratton, ladies and gentlemen. You're not supposed to applaud, you're supposed to boo. Now we get out, let's see where we are now. Oh yeah, here's the little kid that steals our show every week. We're very happy about it because we not only love him,
But we know that he is clever and deserves it. Here's the kid that plays the part of the grocery boy, Julius Abruzzo. Here are the four boys who've been with us ever since we've started. They also are responsible for all of those cute commercials that you hear on the Jack Benny program. Whenever we go out to play any dates like fairs or anything like that, wouldn't think of going without them. And if you ever see them bill, like in Las Vegas or any place that you see them in the hotels and all, go see them because they'll entertain in the latest style, the four sportsmen, ladies. This little fella's the leader. That's who's the
get through with you, Dad.
Here he is, the one and only Ellie Lewis. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for coming. Enjoy yourselves. Thanks for being so nice to me. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you.
La da 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 da, la da 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 da. You'll never know just how much I love yous. La da 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 da. Ah, Julius, what do you think?
Miss Faye, yous'll make Doris call it a day.
All right, Mr. Sharp, I'm ready.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, transcribed, written by Ed James and Phil Shukin, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, John Hubbard, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Tonight's frantic little fantasy is entitled Little Alice's First Date, or I Don't Want to Be a Lonesome Banana, I'll Just Hang Around with the Bunch. First, however, here's a word from RCA Victor. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Phil Harris and Alice Faye are known as Phil Harris and Alice Faye. In private life, however, they are known as Mr. and Mrs. Alice Faye. They have two daughters, little Alice and little Phyllis. But time doing what time does, they're not quite so little as Phil would like to think. Phil thinks?
Harris, you are divine. You are sublime. You're a sensation. And you are all mine. You're such a doll.
Is that you, Phil?
Honey, if it ain't me, how dare I be so handsome? Oh, sewing something, huh?
No. Just running a needle in and out of Alice's coat to improve the ventilation.
Oh, that really helps, huh?
Every time.
Well, then what's the rush? Why don't you do it tomorrow?
Well, it happens that Alice is going to a dance tonight with a date.
Honey, I got news for you. No baby daughter of mine is going to no dance with no date. Not as long as I got anything to do with it.
And I've got news for you, Mr. Van Winkle. A 14-year-old girl is not a baby.
14? But it seems like only yesterday I was putting her in her playpen.
It was, and she's getting pretty tired of it.
I just can't believe it. In only 14 years, how could she get to be 14 years old?
She doesn't count the way you do.
telling people you're 25.
I don't tell people I'm 25. I tell them that Alice is 14 and I was a father at 11. And they figure the rest out for themselves.
Now, Phil, you can't be a juvenile all your life. Even Mickey Rooney grew up.
Yeah, but not all the way.
Hey, Mom, you know who is ready.
All right, dear.
And here she comes now.
Hello, darlings. Hello, you lovely people.
Holy jumping catfish.
Phil, that's your own daughter.
My own? Hey, that's Alice. Phyllis, pull down all them shades.
What's the matter, Pop?
Some of the guys from the band might be outside and she can't run in them high-heeled shoes. Pull down them shades.
Oh, Phil, come
How
on.
Do you like my strapless evening gown, Dad? Isn't it cool?
Why shouldn't it be? There ain't enough of it to keep it.
That isn't what she means, Pop. She means it's real gone.
Yeah, and if you ask me, it's too far gone. Now put some of it back on.
You don't like the way I look.
Yes, I do, Alice. Honestly, I do. It's just that... Well, I ain't seen this much of you since you had your first baby picture taken.
She's no different from all the other girls. And this is a coming out party.
She's coming out, all right. Looks like she's getting squeezed out of a tube of toothpaste. And what's more... Wait a minute. Hold it, Clyde.
Now what's the matter?
Her lip. She's bleeding.
Oh, will you stop carrying on? That's lipstick.
Lipstick? My baby daughter is wearing lipstick? Looks like you put it on with a trowel.
Mother, he's here.
And furthermore,
easy,
I'm not...
Father, easy. Let's not get our little brain in a tizzy.
Look, honey,
I... We'll talk about it later. Be a good boy and let Sniffy in.
Why do I have to... Who?
Sniffy.
Oh, Pop, he's wonderful.
You call him Sniffy?
We won't call him anything if you don't let him in. Now, come on, fellas, come on. Come on, let's finish putting the finished touches on Alice, huh?
Oh, Mother, I'm so excited. He's a doll.
Oh, mush.
Sniffy. Oh, there's a classy name. All right, I'm coming. A date already. First thing you know, I'm going to have gray hair. Or no hair. I'll be a grandfather. Old Crawdad.
Hiya, curly old kid.
Who you calling old?
What's the matter? Something go wrong, Dad?
And don't call me Dad.
Okay.
You got a lot of nerve coming in here making cracks about how old I am. You ain't no spring chicken yourself, Clyde.
Wait a minute. Let's start this thing all over again. Hiya, Curly. How's tricks?
Oh, come in and shut the door, will you?
Beautiful night, ain't it? Not that I care one way or the other, but it seemed like a reasonable way to open the conversation.
All right, Ellie. Don't open no conversations. I'm full of problems. I got a lot of problems.
Bad, huh?
Oh, it's Alice, my little daughter. She's growing up. First thing you know, she'll get married. She'll be a mother. A grandmother. She'll be older than I am.
What are you talking about, Curly?
Little Alice. She's going out with a guy.
Oh. I see what you mean.
What do you mean, you see what I mean? What's wrong with her going out with a guy?
Well, I remember the first time I went out with a girl. And if I was you, I wouldn't let her.
Look, Elliot, you may not know about these things like this, but there are some kids who don't go around peddling hot hubcaps. And there's some young men that respect American womanhood.
How about the first time you went out with a girl, Curly?
I'll kill him.
All right, wait a minute, Curly, hold it. Now let's figure this thing out. What do you know about this kid? Where's he taking her?
Just to a school dance. The place will be loaded with chaperones.
Uh-huh. How much can a loaded chaperone watch? How old is he?
I don't know.
15? 20? 25?
I'll tell you, I don't know. He's just a kid that...
What do you mean, 25?
He's in the ninth grade with Alice.
When I was 25, I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah, and at the rate you were going, you would have gotten out when you're 50.
See what I mean?
Oh, Elliot, what am I going to do?
About what?
About Alice. I can't let her go out with a man 50 years old.
You know, it's a good thing I showed up, Curly. You got to watch these things. You suppose his wife knows about it?
Whose wife?
The kid's.
He's got a wife?
Curly, you don't think you got to be 50 years old without a wife and kids, do you?
The kid's got kids?
You know, this gets worse all the time.
Look, Elliot, you gotta help me.
You know me, Curly. My right arm up to there.
Okay, but now we gotta be clever about this.
You bet.
Real clever.
Diabolical.
You know something? We'll be so clever that this guy'll never know what happened.
Right.
Now, there's only one other thing I've got to figure out.
What's that, Curl?
How do we do it?
That's a problem. Maybe...
I got it. We'll take him in the garage.
And stuff him inside of a tire.
No! We'll work on it.
With sledgehammers.
No, Elliot, no. We'll question him, that's all. We'll find out all about him.
Hold it, Curly.
What?
There's a guy coming up the front walk.
Let me see.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. That's him, Sniffy.
Pardon me?
That's the guy, Sniffy.
He's a clever devil, ain't he? 50 years old and made up to look like a kid of 15.
Hell. Now look, Elliot.
Yes?
Go outside and grab him.
Right.
And Elliot.
Yeah?
I'll meet you in the garage in 2 minutes. I gotta get in the mood.
Right.
The story you're about to hear is true. Names have been changed to protect the actors. It was late when I got back to headquarters and I found 3 bodies piled in front of my desk. That was peculiar because I don't have a desk. It was Harris. My name is Friday. I mean, it was Friday. My name is Harris. Suddenly a voice rang out in the dark, and a weird, mysterious voice, a voice that seemed to say...
Is that you, Chief?
Yeah, where's the kid?
Right here.
Okay, let's go to work. Close the door, Joe.
Okay, Chief.
Seven-car garage. We don't fool around with no small stuff.
You ready to start, Chief?
Right. Shine the light in his eyes.
Right.
All right, sir. Start talking.
Gosh, Mr. Harris, I don't know what this is all about. I came to take Alice to the dance, and this man told me that I had to wait in the garage, and I'm very confused. Besides, I don't like garages because I'm... allergic.
Won't talk, huh? Now look, sir.
Yes, Mr. Harris?
This boy needs a new washer.
Keep going, Chief. You're doing great.
Okay, What do I do next?
Ask him his name.
Right. What's your name, sir?
Sniffy.
You hear that, Elliot? His name is Sniffy.
A clever alias, but it won't hold water.
Sniffy.
Yes, sir.
I can't keep calling him Sniffy. What's your right name, sir?
My right name, Mr. Harris, is Odell Sneed Hathaway, the third.
Odell?
Sneedon?
Hathaway, the third.
Look, Sniffy.
Yes, sir?
How old are you?
I'm 15, sir.
A likely story, 16 if he's a day.
Elliot, will you stop interrupting?
Sorry, Chief, go ahead.
Okay, take over, Elliot.
Right. Sniffy?
Yes, sir?
What mob are you with?
What?
Take him, Chief.
Right. Where do you work?
I...
Where do you live?
I...
Where were you on the night of January 16th?
Elliot.
Sorry, Chief, slip down.
You want to take over?
No, go ahead, you're doing fine.
Okay. Sniffy, now pay attention. What are your intentions toward my daughter?
Well, if she don't bother me, I won't bother her.
Chief, might as well face it. We're not getting any place. We'll have to use force.
Force? What kind of force?
Oh, nothing elaborate. Maybe a few of the basic torches, like the Iron Maiden, Chinese water cure, listening to Guy Lombardo.
Art Linkletter won't get it, huh?
You better let me out of here, or I'll tell my father.
Now we got him.
I didn't want to go to any old dance in the first place.
He's cracking wide open.
I don't like dances, and I don't like girls. And you better let me go home.
Keep going, sir. You're doing fine.
My father's the district attorney, and when I tell him what you did to me...
You hear that, Chief? His father's the... Who?
He's the district attorney. That's who my father is.
Take over, Curly.
I should have gone to the football game in the first place. That's what I should have done.
Curly got it already. That's Sniffy. Odell, boy, you got us all wrong, hasn't he, Elliot?
So wrong.
He doesn't know why we brought him out into the garage, does he?
He thought we were going to torture him.
Yeah. When all the time, all we wanted to do is give him some tickets to the football game.
In the garage?
No, in the Coliseum.
Oh. Well, gosh, I thought you were mad at me or something.
Us?
Mad at you? Did you hear that, Elliot? He thought we were mad at him.
Good old Odell Sneedon.
Yeah. Now, look, Sniffy, here's a couple of tickets for the Rams game. Now, go ahead out of here and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, live it up. Have a ball.
The Rams? Gosh. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Thank you very much.
Yeah, give my regards to your father.
Yeah, say hello to the DA.
Goodbye.
Curly. We did it.
Oh, we got rid of him, didn't we? Wait till I tell Alice.
Hey, boy, will she be tickled, huh?
Hey, wait a minute, Elliot.
What's that?
We forgot one thing.
What's that, Curly?
We never found out how many kids he had. Hey, Alice! Alice, honey!
Now, Phil, have you seen Sniffy? He was supposed to have been here 15 minutes ago.
Tell her, Curly.
Hey, honey, will you hear what we did? Just will you hear?
Mother, I can't understand it. He promised he'd take me.
Oh, Alice, baby, listen, you got nothing to worry about. We fixed that Sniffy character.
We sniffed him good.
Yeah.
You what? Oh, Mother!
Yes, sir, it'll be a long time before he comes messing around here again.
Phil, you didn't send him away.
Send him away, you hear that, Curly?
Hey, honey, you should have heard it. Man, Elliot started that torture business on him, and
Phil,
when he...
Harris.
Oh, Mother.
Well, wait a minute. Alice, you didn't want her to go out with that drip, did you?
Oh, Phil, if you'd only keep on to the things that don't concern
you. It concerns me as much as anybody. She's my daughter, and she ain't going out with no strange guys.
For your information, Phil, they went to kindergarten together.
It's like I said, Curly, a pickup.
Well, gee, we were such good friends. He carried my books, and I carried his nose drops. And now he'll never speak to me again.
Oh, honey, don't. down, honey. Gee whiz, I was only trying to help.
Oh, you were a big help.
I tried to help, too.
All right. All right, get going, both of you.
What?
You've got just 5 minutes to produce Sniffy or a reasonable facsimile.
She makes the kid sound like a box top.
Now, look, honey.
Git.
But I...
Git.
Wait a minute, Alice. I'm the head of this family, and I'll look for Sniffy when I'm good and ready.
Phil?
I'm ready. Come on in.
Where are we going to look for him, Curly?
Oh, how do I know? Come on, let's get. We'll ad lib as we go.
Oh, Mother.
Oh, Alice. Alice.
I'm so miserable. What am I going to do?
Oh, well, gee. Maybe a song would help. Snuggle up, kitten, huh? You, I'm in love with you. I could be so true to someone like you. Do, what you ought to do. Take me in your arms, please do. Let me cling to you. We were meant for each other, sure as heaven's above. We were meant for each other, to have, to hold, and to love. You, there's no one like you. You could make my dreams come true, if you say you love me too.
You, I could be so true to someone like you.
Do, what you ought to do.
Take me in your arms, please do. Let me cling to you.
We were meant for each other, sure as heaven's above. We were meant for each other, to have, to hold, and to love.
Love you. There's no one like you. You can make my dreams come true, if you say you love me.
Wait a minute. Drop it a fifth.
You know, Curly, I don't think we're going to find him this way.
What makes you think so?
They never found Chloe, did they?
Hey, wait a minute. That's an idea.
What?
Any good swamps around here?
No. But why don't we look for him at the Coliseum?
What for?
Well, ain't that where the Rams are playing?
The Cucamonga Rams?
You mean you gave him tickets? Oh, Curly, you're a clever one. But clever.
Yeah. I'm as sharp as a sack of wet cement. I got news for you. If I don't produce Sniffy, I ain't going home.
Hey, Curly, what about that other thing? You know, the facsimile.
What are you talking about? Where are we going to find a thing like that at this time of night?
Curly, when she said a facsimile, she meant... Look out!
A facsimile is look out?
No. No, it means the same thing.
Then what's the difference?
Curly, look. When I say, look out, here it comes. That's Julius.
Why, that little runt tried to run us down. I'll find...
He's a facsimile. Curly, we got it.
Julius is a facsimile?
In a nauseating sort of a way.
Hey, why don't you guys stand still?
Oh, backing up now. He's going to stop. Look, I got an idea.
What?
If we can't find one of them facsimile things, how about using Julius?
Curly, you are a loo-loo.
What are you fellas doing up on the sidewalk? Don't you know it's dangerous?
Oh, hello, Julius, old buddy boy.
Maybe I clipped them going by.
Could we speak to you for a moment, please, sir?
I must have mangled the both of them.
Hey, Julius, how would you like to go to a dance?
Can you lead?
Come here, Julius. Just a little closer.
I'm close enough. What do you got on your mind? As if me deadly intuition didn't tell me.
No, kid, not today, no. No, you got us all wrong, old buddy. We're your friends.
Either me intuition is dead or I'm gonna be.
Julius, we're gonna make you a real happy kid.
You gonna let me back the truck over yours?
Got a wonderful sense of humor, that kid, huh, Ellie?
Oh, a laugh a minute, Curly. Yeah. Nothing but laughs.
Alice, please, you're taking all the fun out of it. You're supposed to fight me.
You? You? Our buddy? Our pal?
Our facsimile?
Hey, Julius. Now, listen. How would you like to take a beautiful young lady to a dance?
I ain't interested.
But we already made the date for you.
Great! Call me up tomorrow and let me know if I had a good time.
Don't be that way, Julius. Look, we'll do anything you say. Name your own terms.
Ooh, this dame must be a darb.
Well, are you going to go or ain't you?
Will you wash me truck?
I'll wash and he'll wipe.
Will you deliver me groceries all day tomorrow and call me Mr. Abruzio?
We will call you dear Mr. Abruzio.
King of the supermarkets.
You'll do all that for poor little insignificant me?
How about it, Julius?
I still ain't interested.
Now look, you little creep.
Leave him alone, Elliot. Leave him alone. Don't bother him. Just leave him alone. If he won't, he won't. Just means poor little Alice won't go to the dance, that's all.
Well, she'll get over it.
Oh, Alice, huh? Wait a minute, me good man. I have decided to reconsider your proposition. I shall be only too happy to accompany the fair damsel in pursuit of type Sicorian delights.
Huh?
That means yes.
Oh. Well, then go ahead, Julius. What are you waiting for?
You want I should take poor little Alice in the truck?
No. You can take my car. But look, hurry up. You'll miss the whole dance.
I'll dance like a breeze, like a feather floating in the summer air, like a bird in the arms of the girl I love.
You got any intuition?
Why?
Mine tells me something is all loused up.
Hey, honey. Hey, Alice.
She isn't home, Pop.
Who isn't?
Anybody isn't. I'm all alone.
Well, that's funny. Where do you suppose?
Hi, Uncle Elliot. How's every little thing?
Oh, great, Phil. Great. Little Alice get taken care of, all right?
Sure. She and Sniffy went to the football game.
Sniffy?
Well, you said you gave him tickets, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, look, Phyllis. What happened when Julia showed up?
Well, he and Mom went to the dance, like you said.
Oh!
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Every one of the dollars you'll invest in a television set is mighty important to you. So make sure you get full value for your money. Make sure you get an RCA Victor. New RCA Victor television costs as little as $199.95. Yet it's the finest TV you can buy. And remember this. When you buy one of the new RCA Victor television receivers, you can enjoy America's finest installation and maintenance through an RCA Victor factory service contract. This exclusive factory service is another reason why every year more people buy RCA Victor than any other television.
This is Phil again. To encourage Americans to speak up for freedom, Freedom's Foundation is currently offering its fifth annual awards program. Cash awards and honor medals are offered in 15 categories. You may obtain entry blanks by writing the Freedoms Foundation, Incorporated, Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Thank you, and good night.
Good night, everybody.
Included in this program transcribed was Gil Stratton. The part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
We'll close out this week's podcast with an episode of Speed Gibson as he deals with the time bomb from 1939.
Speed Gibson of the International Secret Police.
To Africa to investigate the operations of a syndicate which claims to have located the lost empire of Atlantis, Speed, Clint, and Smiley Preston, who is replacing Barney during his serious illness, have had nothing but trouble since their takeoff from New York. The secret police know that their big, specially built plane is not at fault, since it underwent rigorous tests before it was accepted by the police authorities. That leaves the two new members of their crew, the mechanic and the navigator. Neither one of these men is a secret police operator, though both are trusted employees of Chief Riley, head of the secret police. But someone emptied the water tanks just before the takeoff at Bermuda, and this, on top of other mysterious things which have happened to delay their arrival in Africa, turns Clint's suspicions toward his crew. He needs proof of guilt, however, and with this in mind, decides to spend the night in a small English hospital near the spot where their giant plane is resting. We find Clint and Speed and Smiley talking with the mechanic and navigator in their hospital room.
This hospitalization may seem foolish to you, boys, but we must be physically fit when we arrive in Africa. And that long hop without any water whatsoever hasn't done us any good. That's a cinch.
Oh, I feel pretty good now.
Sure you do, Mr. Leeds, but that's because of that stuff the doctor gave us. He said that we've got to make sure and get a good night's sleep, though, for it to really do us good.
Right, Speed. And now we'll go and get what the doctor ordered, a good night's sleep.
Suits me to a T. Boy, I sure am sleepy.
You're always sleepy, Smiley.
Yeah, but that long time without a drink made me even more tired. Boy, I was so dry, I could have blotted a letter.
Yeah, I guess we all could have done that before we landed, Mr. Preston. Well, guess Davis and I'll turn in now. What time do you want to take off tomorrow, Mr. Barlow?
Well, it all depends. I want to make sure that the ship is in perfect order, so Davis will have to have enough time to check it all over.
And don't forget to fill those water tanks. And this time, I'm going to keep my eye on them until we get them in the air. I'm not taking any chances on having that water evaporate mysterious-like again.
You had plenty of water under you, Smiley.
Yeah, salt water. I never want to hear the word salt again.
Well, never mind what you want, Smiley. Let's get back to our room and get some sleep. You sure you and Davis have everything you need, Leeds?
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Lee.
Speed. Speed. Wake up.
What is it, Clint?
Get up. Get your clothes on right away. We're going down to the plane.
The plane? But we're not taking off until tomorrow.
Never mind that. Get dressed while I try to wake up Smiley. He sleeps like a log.
I do not. How can anybody sleep with y'all hold a convention in the room?
Smiley, you awake?
I ain't been asleep, Clint. I knew you had something on your mind all the time. You get that sort of faraway look in your eyes.
Listen, then, you two. I haven't said anything about this before because I didn't want Leeds or Davis to suspect anything. And something in your look might have given the whole thing away.
Leeds and Davis? The mechanic and the navigator? But they're in this hospital too, aren't they, Clint?
They should be. But I've got a pretty good hunch that one of them is directly responsible for all the mishaps we've been having on this flight.
You mean he might be aiming to disable the plane during this layover, Clint?
Exactly. And he won't stop at that either. If the Octopus Gang isn't back of the Atlantean Syndicate, as we think, they'll move heaven and earth to kill us off. It's our lives or theirs, Smiley. And we don't want anything to happen to that plane between here and our next stop, Madeira.
But, Clint, whatever happened to us would happen to whoever's trying to stop us from reaching Africa, wouldn't it?
Yes, but that doesn't mean anything. They're so desperate they'd kill themselves if they were sure they'd get us at the same time. Now, are you ready yet?
You bet. I'm all ready.
Me too.
Let's go then. But be careful that no one sees you leave the hospital. Here we are. Better go by way of this window. I want this party at the plane to be a surprise party. For one of the crew, at least.
Gee, listen to the birds, Smiley.
Only birds I'm interested in listening for now, boy, don't sing.
Golly, it's hard to believe that either Leeds or Davis might be a killer. They seem like such nice fellas.
Yeah, but when you've been kicked around as long as Clint and me have, Speed, you learn that things ain't always what they seem, especially people.
Take it easy on the advice, Smiley. There's the plane just ahead. If anyone should be around it, I don't want them to hear or see us.
They won't see us if we stay in the shadow of this wall, Clint. Moon's so bright it makes the shadows extra black.
Yeah, it don't look like anybody's fooling with our ship now, Clint.
No, not outside, but it's a big ship. Plenty of room inside to work in.
Must be working without lights.
Not need any with this moon. You could read a newspaper in this light.
You talk like you're mighty certain someone is inside that plane, Clint.
But I'm not absolutely sure, of course, but then... Wait a minute. There is someone in that plane.
Yeah.
I just saw a gleam of light. Whoever it is must be working with a flashlight.
Come on, let's get him.
Hold it, Speed. We don't want to risk getting a shot out of the darkness. And remember, we've still got a job to do in Africa.
How do you want to take him? Ease up and surround the plane before he knows we're here?
Yes, I think that's best. And keep your guns handy. But don't shoot unless it's absolutely necessary. If either Leeds or Davis is up to something, I want to question him. He might give us a key to the whole Atlantean problem.
Octopus gangsters don't talk, Clint.
That was when the octopus was alive. Now we're not sure that he is. But come on. Watch your step.
Lead on, boy.
Gee, it's spooky way out here on the Azores. Feel like anything might happen.
Hush your mouth, Speed. Talk about trouble and it comes right along.
There's another flash of light. It's up by the instrument board.
Gosh, let's hurry before he wrecks the instruments.
We're almost there now. Now, Speed, you wait outside the plane and Smiley and I will go in and surprise this fella.
Oh, Clint, let me get a crack at him, too.
Order, Speed, and I haven't time to argue.
Yes, sir.
Besides, he may have an accomplice. Now, keep a sharp lookout.
I sure will.
Now, here we are. Stay right here, Speed. I'll let you know if we need help.
Okay.
The door to the control room is shut.
So I see. Come along.
What in the dickens can he be doing with the instruments?
We'll soon find out. Now get ready. I'm opening the door.
Leeds.
Huh? Up with your hands, Leeds. We've got you covered.
Hey, what is this?
Well, that's what we came to find out. What are you fooling around the ship for? You're supposed to be resting up in the hospital.
I might ask you the same question, Smiley.
Huh?
Sure. What are you and Clint doing down here? I wasn't satisfied with the way this Alameda was registering, so I thought I'd work on it tonight. I knew you wanted to take off tomorrow, and I felt too good to stay in the hospital, and since I am the mechanic, you might say I'm tending to my own business.
You mean we're not...
Take it easy, Smiley. Now, don't beat around the bush, Leeds, and keep your hands up.
Listen, Barlow. I don't have to take that sort of talk from you. I'll get sore in a minute.
Get as sore as you want, but do it away from the instrument board. Now, come on, I have a few questions to ask you.
Do you mind if I replace a wire first? After all, you interrupted me in the midst of my work.
Leave the wires alone. Now, the altimeter was working all right when I flew this ship in. It was the water tanks that were wrong, which was very strange. Because Smiley checked on the water just before we took off from Bermuda.
Watch out, Clint. He's got his hand behind the altimeter.
Keep him up, Leeds, and step lightly.
Okay.
Well, what's so funny?
I have to laugh at you boys. Your profession makes you suspicious of everyone. And I wish you'd take that gun out of my back, Barlow. It's darned uncomfortable.
If you wanted comfort, you should have stayed in the hospital. Now sit down over there. I want to talk to you.
Sure.
Hey, fellas, can I come in?
Sure, come in.
It was Leeds.
Hello, Speed. Your uncle thinks I'm up to some sort of monkey business. I haven't found out just what yet.
What was he doing, Clint?
Working on the altimeter.
Clint, do you reckon we might be wrong about him? Maybe his story is on the level.
Might be, but he's too cool about the whole thing, Smiley. If he was innocent, he'd be raising Cain.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Gosh, where's the alarm clock?
Alarm clock?
Sure, don't you hear it ticking?
Don't tell me you carry an alarm clock around with you, Barlow.
Hold on. Why are you edging away, Leeds?
I'm not. I just want to go outside if you boys are going to talk all night.
Gosh almighty, Clint. Looks like he's outsmarted us. Whatever he's up to, we can't prove nothing on him. Except an alarm clock. Of course, it might be a bomb.
Bomb! Clint!
That's why he was up the instrument board, setting a bomb.
Hey, get Leeds. He's getting away.
Hey, let go, man.
Wait, you
let go.
You can hear him. It's the time bomb. Let's go. Hey, he's gone away.
Clint's gone after the bomb.
Hey, we got to get out of here before that bomb goes off.
Clint, come out. We haven't a chance. It's a time bomb.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.